Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Check your email. If you have a job, if you work with other people, other humans, if you work in groups or with a team, if you're somebody who communicates with clients or has a boss or manages people, check your damn email. Because we sent you something, and then when we asked you about it later, you said, I don't know anything about that. And then it's forcing us to say in response, per our last email, this was the situation. And if you don't check it, you're out of the loop, you're annoying, and you're not doing your job. I feel like the sandwich generation on this one because I'm a Gen Xer. And I'm recently reading a piece in Yahoo. Yes, I know, yahoo.com. I read a lot of weird stuff in the morning to get ready for this show. That Gen Z, they don't love email. They don't love email. One guy, 26, Sam, quoted in the article, says, I think I check my email once per day, but I think you're supposed to check it like three times a day. He says once in the morning, once in midday, and once before you log off. But he says, I don't really do that. And it's landed him in some situations where he was on a group email chain for a project and they had an emergency and he had no idea when he walked into a meeting what was happening. Well, you know what, Sam? You're a moron. Check your email. And the other piece of the bread in the sandwich for me, a Gen Xer, are the boomers and older. Because I have heard from younger employees. I had a lot of millennials that were employees when I worked for Paul ages ago before I came here. And the older people just don't check email, or they will reach out to somebody and send an email and say, hey, how's the progress on this? And that person will respond, per my last email, this is the progress. And that annoys the person who has to send that email. And it also annoys the older person who's like, well, just tell me what it is. Don't say per my last email. Well, here's the deal. If we all just checked our damn email, things would get a lot easier and actually read it and followed through. Because here's what happens when you don't check your damn email. Then you get scheduled for more meetings. And we all hate meetings. We don't want the meetings, right? You know about the meeting that could have been an email. Well, it only could have been an email if you check your damn email. Read it, follow through, respond, reply. Don't reply all unless it's to a select group. And it's okay that you also have Slack. It's okay that you also have Google Teams and you have all the chazarai. You have all the mishigas surrounding, you know, work communications. But I believe in this day and age, email is still the gold standard. Unless, of course, you have agreed with your team that we will solely communicate through Slack for this project, which, again, if everybody is agreed upon, that's great. But I thought it was just the older people. And now I'm reading that the Gen Zers don't want to check email either. And here's my call. Check your email. What do you guys think? Is email still the preferred method of communication in the workplace? 651-461-9226. Educate me. If it's something else, if everybody is communicating on Slack, and I've been on Slack, I've had a couple of Slack channels. It hasn't taken off at our workplace. I mean, like, we're back in the 1800s here at CCO, so our technology is not up to snuff. I'm not a good barometer of that. But for other projects that I've been involved in, side hustles and other things that I do out of work, email for me is still the best, or for the people that I communicate with, is still the best way to go. So, Gen Zers, Millennials, Boomers, talk to me. Gen Alphas, if you're out there in the workplace, you're very young, 651-461-9226. Check your emails. Someone says, you know what else annoys me? Leaving a detailed voice message in the person that calls you back and simply says, I see I missed your phone call. Listen to the darn message so I don't have to repeat it again. That is so true. I see you called me. What did you need? That's true. Listen to my message and see what I said so you can respond appropriately so I don't have to waste double time. It would solve so many problems. Really, this would make our communication a lot easier. Email is universal. We all know how to use it. Just read your email. Some texters here, 651-461-9226. Jordana, I do agree with you, but the bigger question is, when will people agree on one method of communication and don't stay with that? Don't bounce from email to Teams to a text group chat yet. Friend, I get that. That happens all the time. Oh, I responded to you on Teams. Well, or God forbid, I responded to you on WhatsApp. Don't come at me with your WhatsApp. Mm-mm-mm. WhatsApp is when I'm talking to my foreign exchange student overseas. Stop it. Don't come at me with your WhatsApp. Use a proper methodology, but then respond to my email and then tell me on email, I responded on Teams. That's better than just responding on a different platform. Your email is 100% relevant in the workplace today. If you don't think so, you are probably not very successful. Okay, so people are still using email. I mean, David, you're young. You respond to my emails.
I do respond to your emails, but I pretty much disagree with your overall premise.
Really?
Because the point is you need to be responsive and communicative in whatever communication device your company uses. And if that's picking up the phone and calling and listening to voicemails, like, I don't do that. I don't listen to voicemails. But if that's how your team operates, you need to do that. If you're on WhatsApp and that's how you do your work, you need to do that. Like, whatever communication device your company decided to do. And yes, for most companies, it's still email, but that's changing pretty quickly. I think using like a messaging service like Teams or whatever it is becoming much more popular. And in some cases, that's surpassing email. And not that email is never used anymore, but email in some cases has gone to a more passive thing that it's okay to just check once a day or something as sort of a side thing. And your main communication is somewhere else. And that, I think, is going to happen more and more and more, just like it used to be snail mail, right? Like, we used to have couriers carrying messages across.
Please.
And that went away. And so did phone calls and voicemails. I would say that's gone. Nobody communicates that way anymore. And I think we are on our way to the next thing, and that email is going to be lessening because there's so much clutter on email. People have 10 different email addresses with hundreds of emails coming in. It's too cluttered. And I think it's going to be phasing out in the next decade as the main tool used for communication. Not that it has yet, but it's going to start phasing out.
I hear that. And tons of texts on this, so I'm trying to hopefully get to all of them. Jor, what the hell? Whatever happened to a phone call? Call someone and talk to them. I hate all this. One phone call can solve the problems. Okay, but one phone call, here's how I'm going to push back on that. One phone call, you then have to write down notes from the phone call if there was a directive, if there were directions given in the phone call. So if you have it in email, at least you have a record of it. You can go back to the email and say, oh, you said this in your email, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So phone calls, honestly, I just find them unreliable.
Yeah, I do too. And it's not
unreliable.
And it's not searchable then. Like, how many times do I go to my email? Who was that? What was that thing? You can search it and find it right away. When I do have a phone call with somebody, I did this earlier this week. I had a phone call, and the second I hung up, I emailed the person and says, just to clarify what we agreed upon, this is it. So now it's in writing. Because otherwise, that's lost in the wind.
That's right. I don't remember what you said on the phone call. Okay, I'm so sorry that we didn't get to all of your texts. The chief of police is waiting for us in the green room. Let's just put a pin in this, because we can continue this conversation if email is still the universally accepted form. I know I had a shortened wing in it today. We didn't get the whole thing in. But Chief Brian O'Hara joining us in studio next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back. I got Police Chief Brian O'Hara in studio for his monthly visit. Always love when you visit, Chief. It's been a busy few weeks around here in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Let's first start with the reelection of Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. Your reaction to his reelection?
I certainly congratulate the mayor. The mayor is the person who had faith in me to give me this job. Mm-hmm. So I congratulate him and all the members of the city council that were reelected and the handful of new members on the council.
Now, this sounds very diplomatic. Come on. I mean, do you want to dig in a little more?
No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like in general, I've had a good relationship with the vast majority of the council members. Mm-hmm. There's communication back and forth, which is positive. You know, the whole ranked choice voting thing is new to me and still don't quite understand it. But
it's not new to me, and I still don't
a little weird.
Understand
like,
it.
You can get the most votes and still not win, but right. Yeah, that part is different. But I don't know. I just hear, you know, I met with the council president, I think it was Monday. That was our first meeting after the election. And obviously I've talked to the mayor and some of the other folks on the council, and just it seems like there's positive energy, and I'm just hopeful that that positive momentum continues, and you know, we can all work together and try and do what's right for the city.
Okay, again, very diplomatic answer, and that's okay. That what else are you going to say?
I don't know what you think I'm going to say.
I mean, Jacob's a jerk. He's not going to say that.
No, the mayor has been. If you're asking me about the mayor specifically, personally, the mayor has very clearly and publicly been the one person to stand by my side. Every time when it wasn't convenient. And I think one thing that gets lost, the mayor gets criticized a lot, even internally. I know internally in the police department, there's hard feelings, you know, over things that have happened over the last few years.
The burning down of the third precinct.
For sure.
George Floyd, we get it.
There's frustration, there's trauma on all kinds of levels.
Of course.
But there's one thing that the cops or anyone else can't say about this mayor is that he did not pander at the time. When kind of there was just, I've seen the video, there's kind of a mob of a few thousand people outside of his house. I believe his wife was either pregnant at the time or had an infant inside. And while people, politicians all over the country were, just caving in left and right, the mayor didn't do what was convenient. And what would have been in the best interest of his safety is to simply, you know, agree with the crowd and say he would disband the police department. At that time, that he literally had his body on the line and said what was right. And I think that's what leadership actually is. And then in my own personal experience, he did it when it wasn't convenient. And the cops and everyone else should respect him for that, because that's clearly where we are today. And just in my own personal experience, he's always had my back. And I don't know how you can't appreciate that as a human being. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Let's do a little inside baseball, because here we're going to break some news. You mentioned to me during the break, and with permission, we're going to talk about this on the air, if that's okay, that you have what's called a three-year term, or like regular people, a three-year contract. Can you explain that and how it's expiring and what's going to happen?
So my understanding is, like previously for Chief Arredondo, Chief Arto, the contract or the term of the police chief was 3 years. The term of the police chief in St. Paul, for example, is 5 years. So Axel Henry and I became chief relatively the same time. There's a new mayor in St. Paul right now, but nobody's talking about, no one is talking about, is the chief going to be the same?
Mm-hmm.
Here, I believe it's when the charter was revised, they went away from the 3 year term and it became the term of the mayor. So my term expires the end of the year with the term of the mayor. And my understanding is how this would work is the mayor would then, you know, nominate me or nominate whoever, and the council would have to vote to approve the nomination again, just like we did 3 years ago.
Is the mayor going to nominate you, and is the council going to vote you in?
The mayor has said many, many times over and over again that I have his support.
Okay. What about the council?
I can't speak for the council, and obviously there's new people on the council, some I haven't even met yet.
Okay.
So that'll be their decision.
Okay. When are we going to hear about that then? It's the end of the year?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I've asked. I don't know if anyone knows at this point. At some point, I assume this has to be done by the new council, so they have to be sworn in first.
Okay.
And obviously the mayor is going to be the same, but it has to be during the new term. So at some point, I guess, after the first of the year.
Okay. Do you want to stay?
Yeah. I mean, I don't plan on going anywhere else, but if people decide they don't want me, that's fine too. I mean,
okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about your press conference a little bit later, but you're talking about the council. So let's stay on that. We've had this crazy story about the carjacking of a Jamal Osman. He is a city council member, sitting city council member.
Yep.
And
he's my council member. I live in his ward.
You live in his ward. Yep. Okay. There was recently this, obviously any carjacking is horrific, but in Ward 6, you know, city council member Jamal Osman says he was parked near Portland Avenue and Lake Street around 8 o'clock. And was this two nights ago, or was it just, it was two nights ago?
This was two nights ago.
Yeah, I believe that's when it was. First of all, explain that to us. Explain what happened. If this is the first time people are hearing about the story, was the person apprehended?
Yep.
Share what happened. Share how the officers responded. And is Jamal, we've asked Jamal to come on the show and tell us about his experience. And is he okay?
Yeah. So it started, what is it today? Today's Wednesday. So this was Monday.
Okay.
About 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a car that was stolen on First Avenue in South Minneapolis. And then that car, later in the afternoon, we think that car was involved in other crimes, both in the city as well as potentially in at least one neighboring community, both tampering to vehicles and robbery and another attempted carjacking. The other very significant crime that we believe they were involved in was there was a woman in North Minneapolis who was placing her child in the car, about a toddler age, her daughter. And so she was putting her daughter in the back seat, and a suspect jumped in the driver's seat and started to drive away with her car. And so
I also heard that somebody punched her in the head and face as well as she was trying to protect her toddler.
Yeah, so mom jumped on her child as the car's driving away, and the suspect then was punching her in the face and the head, until he basically jumped out of the car while it was moving, and mom was able to safely get the car stopped.
Thank God.
So then that was about 5:15 in North Minneapolis. Later on, there were two other instances along Hennepin Avenue with an attempted carjacking and another robbery there before about 8 o'clock in the area of Lake Street and Portland Avenue.
Okay.
We believe the same suspects approached the council member while he was in his Volkswagen.
Same suspects from the woman.
From all of these crimes.
Okay. They're all the same people. Okay.
We believe they're the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we believe this is all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And so they approached the council member. They had mace and gestured as if they had a gun and took his vehicle. So he called 911, reported this to the police. The police had no idea who he was. Mm-hmm. They just simply responded, as they did to the mom, as they did to the other victims in these cases. But they were quickly able to locate both his car as well as the original stolen vehicle that they were driving around in, got into a pursuit on Lake Street, and, you know, the cars wound up crashing into some uninvolved vehicles. There was a foot chase, and two of the suspects who were juveniles were arrested, 15 and 16, and a replica.
So don't, the 15-year-old didn't even have a license yet?
Of course 15, not. Yeah, of course okay, not. Right. Yeah. And they recovered a replica handgun from them. So we think all of this stuff is connected. You know, I heard about the council member being involved in this after the fact, after the cops had responded. That's when he reached out to the precinct inspector, which then I became aware of. And of course, I was concerned. I reached out to him directly because, you know, we've had elected officials targeted for violence.
Of course. Melissa Hortman was murdered in her own home.
Yes.
Of course.
So that's obviously something I was concerned about. You know, I wanted to make sure that it was, you know, not potentially something like that, which it wasn't. It just doesn't seem like these kids or the responding officers, for that matter, had any idea it was an elected official.
So he was. It was just the luck of the unlucky, the draw, that he was one of the victims.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What's happening with these kids now?
They've been arrested. The investigations continue because they need to be, you know, we need to have probable cause to link them specifically to the other remaining cases that we believe are connected.
Mm-hmm. Kids known to you?
One was, okay. One was not. So, and the one that was, it's not like he was on our radar for anything significant. You know, we deal with these kids that are very, very high risk, that are over and over again coming into contact with very dangerous and reckless behavior. But neither one of these kids was on that list.
Mm-hmm. So. Crazy story. Thank goodness the mom and her child and city council person Jamal Osmond, thank God they were okay.
Thank God they're okay.
Thank God.
As well as the other victims that were threatened.
Of course.
By these kids.
They were in a stolen car, so there was a previous victim from that as well.
There's a previous victim for that. There's other people who called the police describing the stolen car, saying how reckless it was driving through their neighborhood during this. So,
Chief, how long did it take, like, from the first report to nab these kids?
Well, the first report, we believe the theft occurred around 2 p.m.,
okay.
The car theft. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody was actually there when it happened, but that's when we think it occurred. Councilmember Osmond was carjacked at about 7:57, and a few minutes later, that's when the pursuit began.
Okay, so within the same day,
because it was just
a matter of a few hours.
They're fleeing west on Lake Street, and that's where the police were able to locate them.
I mean, it's bold. These kids have a lot of chutzpah. I can't believe that they're Sergeant Pardon is telling me we got to go to the break because he's now producing the show.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We got to take a break. More with the Chief next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
By the way, I didn't mention that Adam Carter is out today because I do believe there is a warrant out for his arrest. And he knew the chief was coming in. So Adam is, no, he's, he was sick. You guys heard his voice.
I heard he was feigning illness because it's deer hunting season. That's what I heard. I don't know.
He didn't get one this weekend. It might be because he had to go back up early. That's right. No, so Adam just has a sick day. I park downtown today. Anytime I park downtown or I go out to lunch or whatever, I always take my bag with me, of course, if I have my computer. And there has been a series, I know you addressed this a little bit, of smash and grabs for people in Minneapolis. It's such a convenient crime when you see somebody's, you know, nice Mac, you know, laptop computer sitting in the front seat. And you're thinking, if they were dumb enough to leave it there, some criminal's got to be dumb enough to take it. So what's happening with this rash of break-ins and what give us some good practical advice?
You know, we were talking about the robberies and the carjackings, which, you know, had exploded here over the last few years. Mm-hmm. Good news is it's been going down for the last 2 years and even year to date. Robberies are down by more than a third, and carjackings are down by a third, which is important because those are crimes of violence against people.
Mm-hmm.
What we have been struggling with this year is these smash and grabs, and in a lot of cases, you know, these juveniles are just breaking car windows for the sake of breaking them. They're not even stealing anything.
Really?
Yes.
God, get a job or a hobby. Go play sports.
It's very frustrating because they'll do it. They'll do it to more than one. They'll do several on a block. It seems almost for sport. Things are often not being taken at all. But the typical problem that we do experience, so that's what we experience with the kids and a lot of these, you know, high volume smash and grab type activities we had, these destruction of property. But what is...
But that you can't protect yourself from, Chief. That you just parked
totally
on
random.
The street.
You parked on the street. Yes. Yes. Yes, and it's extremely frustrating because it requires a monumental amount of resources to investigate these crimes. We had a few dozen broken Sunday night into Monday in a couple different areas around South Minneapolis.
That's a lot. That's a lot of damage. That's a lot of insurance claims. That's a lot of fear.
It's a lot. It's affecting a lot of our residents. And to respond to that, I mean, we had, I think probably two dozen community service officers out walking all of those neighborhoods on Tuesday, just interviewing neighbors, trying to get video, because every single instance is a massive amount of time to investigate. So we have to be able to try and prove which kid specifically broke each window every time something like this happens. And then you put all this effort into this stuff, and at the end of the day, even when you do develop probable cause, you have probable cause that a juvenile committed a misdemeanor offense.
Right. So what do you even do with that?
Exactly. So it's very frustrating for the residents. It's frustrating on all levels, and it takes us to, you know, we're required to devote resources to this, which we know ultimately are for very, very low-level offenses that are being committed by juveniles.
Gosh.
It's very frustrating. But what does still happen, that's the part that gets the attention. Because it's so egregious when you have a bunch of these happening at once. But what is still most common is, you know, people leave, like you mentioned, valuables that are visible in their car, and the car gets broken into to steal whatever, the laptop, a purse, things of value, cell phones, things of value that are left there. In fact, you know, half of the handguns that are stolen in Minneapolis are actually stolen from people's cars. And they're not secured appropriately, and sometimes they are visible. Sometimes they're not. You know, sometimes they're, you know, a lot of times they're under people's seats or in the glove box and so on, but they're not, oftentimes they are not secured in the way that they are supposed to be under the law.
But see, that poses a conundrum, because there are a lot of places where it's posted, you cannot have a gun. So if your gun's in your car,
there's people that are afraid, right? Because
because
of what's happened over the last few years, there's definitely more people that are afraid. And so that in and of itself causes people who would not typically carry a gun to want to carry a gun.
Right.
And it all contributes to the
what should I do with my AR-35,000 when I'm driving downtown and I have to park?
You should follow the law.
But should I put it in the trunk?
And secure it, yes.
Okay.
And secure it appropriately, unloaded.
Okay.
And all of those things, yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. Let's not invite criminals. It's just, that's a frustrating crime.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Yeah. And especially these, you know, these senseless crime sprees where they're breaking out people's windows.
Because people have nothing, kids have nothing to do, and that's frustrating.
It's affecting a lot of people.
We got a couple of questions on text.
Mm-hmm.
Is it cool if I just add some of these?
Yep.
Here we go. Just curious, why does Sergeant Pardon come with to CCO with the chief? Is it security reasons? Sergeant, are you security? he's listening to make sure the chief doesn't screw anything up. Now we understand who's in charge.
That's true. That's at least partly true. Yes.
No, it's
or to get a jump start on, you know, correcting whatever.
I get it. I get it. Yeah. And we love to chat with him anyway. Let's see. Good morning, Chief. Appreciate you being on the radio and talking about crime. This is from a texter. What are your thoughts on installing more cameras around these problematic areas to assist Absolutely. With investigations and identifying criminals?
Absolutely. And especially as great as the video technology has been, you know, the city's had for a number of years a program through a vendor called Fusus, where we do have access to a lot of private cameras, which are very, very helpful in terms of investigations. Mm-hmm. And we've increased the number of surveillance cameras that the police department has on trailers that we're able to bring into, you know, communities that are experiencing an uptick in crime. And in addition to that, one thing that we're adding this year is we're adding a number of license plate readers to those trailers. So that if we're going into an area where we know there have been a lot of problems with violence, mm-hmm. where there's been drug dealing. We'll have the license plate readers there that are able to track, you know, if a stolen car comes through and alert us, if a mm-hmm. carjacked vehicle comes through, or if there's been a shooting, we're able then to go back and people say, oh, we saw a green Honda take off from here. Able to go back then pretty quickly and try and okay. identify the shooter's vehicle. So I think all of those parts of technology are absolutely essential, you know, as we try and build these cases.
Another question from a texter. Chief, why are parents not being held accountable for their children's destructive criminal behavior per Minnesota Statute 540.18? Yeah. Well, very specific. And that might be a question for Mary Moriarty, but your response, sir.
Well, I think even Councilmember Osmond, you know, said what I think a lot of people are thinking, that there are times that, you know, your juvenile is being involved in a crime and that, you know, more should be done to hold adults accountable. At the same time, you know, I have seen a number of parents with some of these kids that are out there and really at risk, not just to the community, but to themselves, that are stuck because they're asking for help.
You know, so the parents are stuck. They know they have kind of a bad egg on their hands.
They know their kid keeps mm-hmm. hanging out with the the older mm-hmm. kids down the block that are getting mm-hmm. into things they're not supposed to, and they're not getting the help. Even when, you know, they have reported, you know, their kids being involved in some serious crimes. So it's not across the board that, okay. you know, the kids are the problem because of the parents, but that's absolutely something in some cases. And then there's parts of the system that are intended to address that.
Okay. So it's not just bad parenting. It's some of them are trying.
For sure.
They're trying.
For sure.
Okay. It's environment.
For sure.
The burning question, really, that I should have led with for the chief, and we got to take a break, but I'll leave you with this so you can mm-hmm. think about it during the commercial. Do we need more public restrooms in downtown Minneapolis? We talked about it yesterday. I'm bringing it back today. These are the hard-hitting yes. topics that we discuss here on the Adam and Jordana Show. So if you have more questions for the chief, 651-461-9226. But the chief will talk to me about public restrooms next. Okay. You're walking around downtown. You're trying to help the businesses. You know, you want to see downtown, and you got to pee. Mm-hmm. And you can't find a public restroom.
Chief, what would I do?
The chief.
I would go home. I live downtown. That's what I would do.
So the chief of police says move downtown, then
that
you
will
won't
solve
have
your
this
problem. Exactly.
We had this conversation yesterday about should downtown Minneapolis have more public restrooms, whether it be to invite more people downtown or make it easier for the workers here. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I think, it depends. I think a lot of times some of no good deed goes unpunished kind of thing. Like, you know,
Amen.
We can,
mm-hmm.
you know, try and add things, but.
Because that's what I think.
Yeah,
you and I are both from New Jersey, though. And if you go into a public restroom or in the
yes.
in the sewer, in the subway in New York City, you're not going to see something pleasant in the public restroom.
Yeah, I mean, you see these types of problems pop up. You know, you mm-hmm. have beautiful bus shelters here.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the
they
best
nice.
Of any major city
mm-hmm.
I've
Heated,
ever seen.
They're
yeah.
nice.
And what have we seen around the city? You know, they can become places where, you know, people are then using drugs and causing those types of
and
quality
sleeping.
Life issues. So, I mean, there needs to be someone responsible that's in charge of that particular space, mm-hmm. whether it's a bathroom, you know, benches that you're adding, mm-hmm. or a bus shelter, and someone that has to be on top of it to mm-hmm. make sure that it is maintained mm-hmm. and healthy and clean and being used for the purpose that it's intended to be used.
I'm counting the dollars, Chief.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't walk into, you know, Penn Station in Newark or New York City and go into a restroom. You know, that's the thing.
Like, you got to be really desperate.
This stuff needs to be maintained, and somebody needs to be responsible for these public spaces so that the public can actually use them for what they're for.
Fair enough. Got a couple of listener questions, if that's okay, if we want to jump back in here. One of the questions was, is it loitering when people are begging at the end of a freeway on the ramps and street corners? Like, is that illegal for them to be there?
So I don't want to sound like a lawyer because I'm not, but the answer is it depends. So if someone is just standing on the side of the highway holding a sign saying, I'm poor, I have no money, mm-hmm. and I'm hungry, mm-hmm. that's speech that's protected by the First Amendment. Okay. But if someone is aggressive and banging on your window, preventing you from, you know, driving and those types of things, doing any kind of behavior that's, you know, disruptive or potentially threatening, then that's different. That's aggressive solicitation. And obviously anything that crosses that line is mm-hmm. no longer protected speech. It's actions that are threatening. And that's the part that would make it illegal.
So drivers, maybe you find it annoying or uncomfortable, but they have a right to be there.
If somebody's just standing there with a sign,
right,
you know, holding a cup, posing no threat whatsoever mm-hmm. to the community, that's not illegal.
David wanted to know, and I do too. I just wanted to give him credit for the question. Where'd the homeless people go? We cleared the encampments. Where are they?
Well, there's still, you know, obviously the tents are gone, mm-hmm. Which is a good thing. And obviously some people have, you know, over time, some people have gone and gotten off the street. But in the time since, obviously there's other people then that still come in. So there's places, you know, around the city where a lot of times people who are either, if they are homeless or they're not, who knows, but it's people that are, you know, suffering from addiction, mental health, some combination of all of this stuff, and they gather on the street. And there's places around the city where that happens, and it's affecting our residents. Some of it is not, you know, like on top of where people live. It's, you know, an underpass someplace or not necessarily immediately next mm-hmm. to homes and businesses where people are. But it's still, you know, there's still the issues around homelessness, around fentanyl especially, are still, you know, still happening in the city mm-hmm. for sure. You just don't see the homeless encampments with the tents all over the place like you did a couple years ago.
I live out in St. Louis Park, and I was just in Uptown recently. There are a lot of homeless people in Uptown.
Sure.
Because that's where they've moved to. It's a little further out from downtown or the encampments. And I've lived here, you know, 20 years in the same area, and it's more than I've ever seen.
You'll see it sometimes alongside some of the state DOT property. Mm-hmm. We closed off and fenced off the area around 35. Yeah, mm-hmm. where people would see that. But it doesn't mean the people just disappeared. I mean, the people are still around. Mm-hmm. There's places, you know, the underpass over by Cedar Avenue and 17th Avenue mm-hmm. Is another mm-hmm. place where people gather. It's not as bad as what it had been, you know, maybe 2 years ago when there'd be 100-plus people out mm-hmm. there and tents and everything else. But obviously there's still real challenges that people in the community are dealing with.
We got 30 seconds left. I want to leave you with the last word before David wraps us both up. Anything you want to add?
No, just thank you. It's always good to be here. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the chance to, you know, talk to the community about the stuff that's going on.
You know, so, and thank you for asking our listeners questions. I'm glad they're comfortable enough where they can just text me and I'll throw them at the chief. You guys know that. And we'll get your questions answered. Great to see you.
I enjoy it. It's
good to see you. Sergeant Pardon, great to see you. Thank you for the quality security you're providing for the chief.
Security.
We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.